intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Annika Gall from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from, well, I'm going to continue from last week's Wall Street Journal major portion of their newspaper dedicated to navigating the coronavirus. So today I'm going to continue with tips for sanitizing your home. For many people, staying safe from the coronavirus means staying home, but infectious germs can live in your house too. To minimize the risk of getting sick, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend taking action to disinfect high-touch surfaces such as countertops, doorknobs, cell phones, and toilet flush handles, since some pathogens can live on surfaces for several hours. However, many people don't disinfect properly, says Brian Sansoni, head of communications for the American Cleaning Institute, a Washington trade group that represents product manufacturers. First, you might need to clean, removing grease or grime, before you disinfect. Second, the disinfectant needs to remain on the surface, often for several minutes, before it dries or is wiped off. Check the label for wait times to make sure the virus kill is effective, Mr. Sansoni says. In recent days, bleach and other cleaning products have been in short supply. Mr. Sansoni says manufacturers have cranked up production to keep up demand. That said, he cautions against overusing chemical cleaners and, worse, mixing cleaners in hopes of boosting their effectiveness. There is no need to panic clean, he says. Just read the labels on everyday products to clean and disinfect the right way. They'll do what they are supposed to do. Here are some other tips for staying safe at home. The CDC recommends washing hands vigorously with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. As a backup, use hand sanitizers that are at least 60% alcohol. The Environmental Protection Agency recently released a list of approved disinfectants to kill coronavirus. For surface cleaning, look for products such as wipes, sprays, and concentrates that say disinfectant on the label and include an EPA registration number. These are required to meet government specifications for safety and effectiveness. For a homemade disinfectant, the CDC recommends mixing a quarter cup of household chlorine bleach with 1 gallon of cool water. All right, 1/4 cup household chlorine bleach with 1 gallon of cool water. That's for your homemade disinfectant. After disinfecting food prep surfaces such as cutting boards and countertops, rinse them with water before use. For laundry, use detergent and bleach for white loads, or peroxide or color-safe bleach for colors to kill germs. Be sure to read clothing labels to avoid damaging garments. To boost the effect, some washing machines have sanitize or steam settings that kill germs. Drying laundry on the dryer's hot cycle for 45 minutes also is effective. If possible, operate dishwashers on the sanitizing cycle. Machines certified by NSF International, formerly known as the National Sanitation Foundation, must reach a final rinse temperature of 150 degrees and achieve a minimum 99.999% reduction of bacteria when operated on that cycle. Household air purifiers and filters that advertise the ability to kill or capture viruses can be useful, but shouldn't be a substitute for cleaning. Some purifiers use ultraviolet light, which has been shown to have germicidal effects, but their overall effectiveness can vary depending on their design, according to a 2018 technical summary of residential air cleaners by the EPA. While some filters advertise the ability to capture things like viruses, smoke, and common allergens, they don't necessarily kill microorganisms. All right, very important. So, some of your questions answered. How worried should I be? All right, most people who are infected might become only mildly ill, data suggest. But mild can be anything from a fever, cough, and aches to pneumonia that doesn't become too severe. So for most people, it is probably not just a few sniffles. And mild or not, you'll have to be isolated or quarantined. Of 44,672 cases in China, 81% had mild or moderate symptoms. 13.8% were severely ill, and 4.7% were critically ill, according to the Chinese CDC. All of those who died were in critical condition. How long will this virus last and remain a potential threat? Big question everybody's asking. Most forecasters are reluctant to predict, at least publicly, how this will play out over months or even years. Amesh Adalia, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, says the outbreak is still in the first inning. It isn't yet clear how many people have the disease, how quickly it is spreading, or even how deadly it is. The SARS coronavirus strain was gone within months, notes Dr. Poland, but that didn't happen with the MERS strain. All right, and how is the virus spread among humans? It transmits through respiratory droplets when an infected person speaks, coughs, or sneezes, according to the World Health Organization. The droplets spread through the air and can land on another person's mouth or nose, or possibly inhaled into their lungs, infecting them. The droplets can also settle on nearby surfaces like a desk, counter, or doorknob, where they can survive for a period. A person can become infected by touching a contaminated surface, then touching their mouth, nose, or eyes. Respiratory droplets are heavy and don't travel far in the air, so transmission is believed to occur mostly through close contact, meaning within 6 feet of an infected person. How easily does the virus spread? Disease modeling experts have estimated that, on average, each infected person has transmitted the virus to about 2.6 others, though the range is between 1.5 and 3.5. Those rates are higher than for seasonal influenza, but far lower than measles, in which one infected person can transmit the virus to 12 to 18 other people. All right. So, now, working from home, there are ways to stay sane and productive. What's the best way to work effectively from home? That has suddenly become an urgent question as employers around the world tell staffers to work remotely in an effort to stem the spread of the new coronavirus. Here's some advice. Make sure you have all the tools you need, the right laptops, network access, passcodes, and instructions for remote login. Minimize distractions and noises from others in your household. Separate your workspace from your personal space as much as possible. Use noise-canceling headphones. On conference calls, mute your microphone when you aren't speaking. If video conferencing, be mindful of what the camera is picking up behind you. Use digital collaboration tools to communicate with colleagues. Schedule group meetings by video conference and set up group chats via programs like Slack or Microsoft Teams. If email is leading to a misunderstanding, pick up the phone and have a conversation. Talk with your manager about child care challenges. If you're asked to work from home and your children's school or daycare shuts down, that might affect your ability to do remote work during normal business hours. In some cases, children may be old enough to fend for themselves, but younger children will need more attention. One possibility might be to set up shifts at home, where one parent works remotely and the other parent cares for the child, and then they switch. Take steps to improve your internet speed. You may encounter slowdowns during periods of heavy use, like when you're trying to work from home while your children are watching videos or playing games. Switch to Ethernet if you can. If not, move as close as possible to your Wi-Fi router. Fight the feeling of isolation. While you want to minimize distraction from your family members or roommates, you also want to avoid feeling like you are alone all day. Maintaining social connection is tricky while trying to create social distance to stave off the virus. But there are ways to maintain your mental health. Call people on the phone or video chat, and break up the day with some exercise. Some employers have also begun offering online resilience training to address the challenges of working from home during the outbreak. All right, well, a lot more here. Our next article is entitled, What Works and Doesn't Work to Boost Your Immune System? As the new coronavirus continues to spread across the country, having an optimally functioning immune system is more important than ever. Medical professionals say it is important not to rush to buy supplements and vitamins that promise to enhance your immune system. There isn't much evidence that such products do any good. Instead, they say, stick with mundane but proven approaches. 1. Keep your stress levels down. It's a bit of a vicious cycle. The more you stress about the virus, the more likely you are to suffer from it. Stress can certainly hurt your immune system, says Morgan Katz, an assistant professor of infectious diseases at Johns Hopkins University. Andrew Diamond, chief medical officer of One Medical, a nationwide network of primary care providers, says the stress hormone cortisol turns off cells in your immune system. He recommends engaging in activities that people find relaxing, such as meditation. 2. Exercise. Low and moderate intensity exercise naturally lowers cortisol levels and helps with immune system function, says Dr. Diamond. One Medical recommends 30 to 60 minutes of exercise a day. If you're apprehensive about germs in the gym, walk or run outside. But it is important not to go overboard. A recent study found high-performance athletes have an increased risk of infection, says Elizabeth Bradley, medical director of the Cleveland Clinic's Center for Functional Medicine. 3. Get adequate sleep. For adults, that means getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Children should get more depending on their age. 4. Make sure your vaccines are up to date, especially the flu vaccine. 5. Eat plenty of plain yogurt every day. It's really an easy way to boost your probiotics and help support your microbiome, Dr. Katz says. It helps to support the good bacteria that live in your body, which helps to fight bad bacteria or viruses. All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Watch your diet. Stick to a healthful, balanced diet filled with lots of colorful fruits and vegetables to ensure you're getting enough zinc and vitamin D and other important vitamins and minerals. Most experts say you should be able to get enough of those vitamins and minerals through your diet, and extra supplementation isn't necessary. But because vitamin D deficiency is relatively common, experts do recommend supplementation if levels are low. Your immune system needs fuel, so avoid ultra-low carbohydrate diets, experts say. Drink lots of water and reduce alcohol consumption. And finally, stop smoking or vaping. Smokers and those with respiratory disease have a higher rate of serious illness and complications from coronavirus. All right, very important for any time, but particularly now. Okay, we're going to continue with a few of the questions that are answered here. All right, what steps can we take to minimize the risk of transmission of COVID-19 on public transportation? Experts say keeping your distance from people who are coughing and sneezing may help. Wiping down a subway or bus pole is something that can be done, says William Schaffner, a professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Tennessee. Better yet, if it's a short enough distance, walk and get some fresh air and exercise. The best advice, experts say, may be to avoid touching your face as much as possible while on public transport and washing your hands or using hand sanitizers as soon as you're off. How should I treat packages from China? Is it possible to transmit the virus through the mail? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has said there is likely very low risk that the virus can spread from products or packaging shipped from China because of poor survivability of coronaviruses on surfaces, a spokesman for the U.S. Postal Service says. Also, according to the CDC, he says, there currently is no evidence to support transmission of the coronavirus associated with imported goods, and there have been no reported cases of the virus in the U.S. associated with imported goods. Okay, if I have symptoms, what do I do if I am coughing or having a fever and wonder if it might be the coronavirus? Contact your doctor if you have concerns. Right now, the odds are greater that your cold or fever is caused by influenza or another respiratory disease, says Gregory Poland, director of the Mayo Clinic's Vaccine Research Group in Rochester, Minnesota. When should I go to the hospital? Experts say you should go to a hospital if you're sick enough that you think you should be admitted. The telltale sign is difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, combined with a fever of 101 degrees or higher, says Wilbur Chen, an associate professor of medicine at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. If my child or anyone else in my household is coughing or has a fever, should I keep them home and for how long? Absolutely. Of all times to keep children at home when they are ill, now is the time, says Cameron Wolf, associate professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Duke University Health System. The younger the child, the less capable they are of keeping their own secretions and snot to themselves. So parents have to be mindful of that, says Dr. Wolf. Dr. Rabb at NYU Langone Health says, for any illness, children should be home until there is no sign of infection, which is when their symptoms have resolved and they are fever-free without any medications for at least 24 hours. What, if any, precautions should be taken by pregnant women? Experts say pregnant women fall into the vulnerable category of people more likely to get seriously ill with the new virus. Avoid large public gatherings if you're in an area with new coronavirus cases, says Dr. Poland. The precautions should be heightened. Dr. Wolf says to make sure you have an influenza shot if you are pregnant, and reach out to your doctor to see if they have contingency plans if new coronavirus cases escalate, such as conducting a virtual visit through telemedicine when possible. And what supplies you need? Should I buy a mask or gloves? Not unless you or someone in your household comes down with the new coronavirus. Dr. Rabb says, there's no evidence that masks help if you're healthy. While the N95 masks used in hospital settings can be effective, experts say they need to be fitted for the individual. That occurs for healthcare providers in hospitals or healthcare workers in hospitals, but not when people buy such masks online or over the counter. You could consider wearing a mask, Dr. Rabb says, if you're sick or in close contact with an ill child or loved one. Gloves also are only useful if you're taking care of an ill child or loved one and are in contact with bodily fluids. Wearing them day to day for prevention is not helpful, as we touch our hands, eyes, and mouth frequently. All right, and what can you do to help contain coronavirus? With the new virus at pandemic levels, public health experts say healthy individuals can help prevent the spread with good hygiene and some social distancing in their everyday lives. Home. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover coughs and sneezes. Avoid touching your face. Disinfect frequently touched surfaces and objects. If someone you live with gets sick, avoid sharing food and other personal items. Have them use a separate room and bathroom if possible. Keep a few weeks' worth of medications and other supplies in case you need to stay at home. Public transportation. You can try to avoid rush hour or walk if it's a short trip. You could wipe down the subway pole before holding on. But experts say the best advice may be to wash your hands or use hand sanitizer once you're off. And seriously, try not to, you know it, touch your face. Cars and taxis. If you are diagnosed with COVID-19 or think you may have it, you shouldn't use ride-sharing apps, taxis, or any type of public transportation. School. School-age children are generally the group that has the most contact with others, making school closures an important early step in preventing the spread of respiratory diseases. If you're a parent or caretaker, arrange childcare in case schools close. If classes are suspended, students should also cancel extracurricular activities and other gatherings. Office. If you can, work remotely or in staggered shifts. But many people can't work from home, In that case, stop shaking hands and stay home if you're sick. Use disposable wipes to clean frequently used surfaces, such as keyboards and desks. Community events. Be prepared to postpone or cancel events and services. If you're older or have underlying health conditions, you should stay home if there's an outbreak in your community. Try to avoid public places and gatherings. All right, so school-aged children are generally the group that has the most contact with others, making school closures an important early step in preventing spread of respiratory diseases. All right, that's why I guess all of our schools are closed and others throughout the country. All right, and just to wrap it up, what else can I do to protect myself? The most important thing you can do is wash your hands frequently for at least 20 seconds each time. Wash them regularly when you are at the office, when you come home, before you eat, and other times that you are touching surfaces. You can also use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth. Viruses can enter your body that way. Maintain a distance from people who are sick. Wipe down objects and surfaces frequently with household cleaner, which will kill the virus. Dr. Poland says if it is a surface exposed to sunlight outside, the virus only lives for a few minutes or up to an hour. But if it is indoors and a dry environment, germs can live up to a day or two. If someone at home is sick, the CDC recommends cleaning surfaces that are touched frequently, such as doorknobs and countertops, every day. Regular household disinfectant wipes and cleaners should suffice. Anything with alcohol or bleach works. Get a flu shot if you didn't get one already. Stock up on some supplies in case you have to stay home, infectious disease experts say. To avoid cleaning out store shelves, just buy a few extra on your regular orders or trips to the store. Items to consider include shelf-stable foods like cans of beans, packages of rice and pasta, and beverages, pain relievers and other common medications, extra prescription medications, and hygiene and cleaning products. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after our broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Be safe. Wash your hands. See you next time.